Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of Number 4 Privet Drive were proud to say that they were perfectly normal, thank you very much.
You know, that quote was positively magical.
Thank you. I just joined Pottermore, so I know I just gave it away. Shucks. So today, Tech Stuff fans, we're all going to go on a little Google Drive.
Oh, cool. Are we going to talk about those robotic cars that don't need drivers except, you know, when they're sitting in the seat and they watch the car where you're on somebody else?
No, that's not what my notes are on. I was talking about Google Drive, the cloud storage Google Drive.
It was
announced on April 24th. Well, this will be a fun podcast. We're going to see what our notes show. We're going to talk about Google Drive today. And the day we're recording this podcast, just in case you guys are curious, I know that you'll be listening to it quite a while afterwards because we record so early in advance, but it's April 27th, the day we're recording this. So it's just 3 days after Google finally officially announced and launched Google Drive.
Right. It was sort of one of those closely guarded secrets
that everyone knew about,
like the iPad for 2 years before it was released.
Right. Yeah. People have been talking about Google having a cloud storage service for a couple of years now. So this was it. And even Google made reference to that. But before we really get into what Google Drive is, we should probably talk about what cloud storage is in general and why it's important. Cloud storage is a pretty simple concept. The idea is that you can store data on servers in the cloud. So you're talking about using someone else's computers to store your information, and you can access that information over the internet using some sort of interface, usually web-based.
Mm-hmm. And they call it the cloud, of course, because the internet is a nebulous group of machines and it's just sort of out there always changing like a cloud.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So, and the idea being that it's also kind of like a cloud in the sense that you can access it from any machine that has that internet capability.
Right.
It may require a special app depending upon the type of cloud storage. Cause not everything is web-based. There are a lot of different desktop clients that you can have that will allow you to store information to a cloud drive. So it lives on your computer's desktop as if it were a regular file folder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So think of your regular hard drive folders that you would go into to look at various files. Like you might store all your pictures in a pictures folder and all your videos in a videos folder, that kind of thing. A cloud storage drive might show up on your desktop as if it were a regular folder on your computer. But instead of living on your computer, the information gets sent over the internet to a remote machine. And it's stored on that machine. And there is an identifier that links that particular file to you as a user, a registered user of that service.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when I say it lives on one machine, that's not entirely true. Almost every cloud service, in fact, every reputable cloud service out there uses redundant measures so that the file is on several different machines in case one machine fails.
I'm real sorry. I only had one machine and it went down.
Yeah, that would not go over so well.
Chester's Cloud Service.
Chester's Cloud Service, yep.
Chester's never really been up on that whole
cloud thing. I think I need to register that domain now, Chester's Cloud Service. We got here a cumulonimbus. So the idea is that obviously that you would be able to offload storage from your native device. Especially if you are one of those people who has lots of different devices and you want to be able to access the same information no matter which device you're using. Because in the olden days, back before cloud storage.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah, not that long ago. you only had a few different options. You could save something to a physical medium.
Mm-hmm.
So a disk, for example, compact disk, or a floppy disk way back in the day, or a thumb drive, something like that. And then you could port that over to another device, pull it up from the physical medium, and then work on it that way, save it back to the physical medium, and then go back. And, you know, it was a little cumbersome. It mm-hmm. also meant that you would often end up with lots of duplicate copies of a particular file. And if people made changes, then you had to figure out, all right, which one of these copies has the most recent, most relevant changes? And then I have to get rid of all the others or else I'm going to confuse them all.
Yeah, you have to go through and you end up looking at creation dates and when things were modified. Wait, that was done at 9/17. This was 9/24. Okay, I can get rid of that one. And it takes forever.
It's particularly difficult if you have more than one collaborator.
Yes.
Right? So mm-hmm. if Chris and I were working on a document, it would be frustrating for us to try and we're both working on copies of a document.
Mm-hmm.
We're both making changes. It'd be very frustrating to collate those changes and figure out, you know, which ones are relevant and which ones are the most recent. And may very well be that a change I make makes a later change that Chris makes irrelevant.
Yeah.
So the idea behind cloud storage is it's not always connected, but there's a lot of work around collaboration in cloud storage so that if you have multiple people who need access to a particular file, you are able to share that file across several instances.
Mm-hmm.
And you might even be able to have multiple people work on that file at the same time. And those changes will be reflected more or less in real time for each person. So that way, if Chris were to make a change to a sentence within that file, I could actually see him making that more or less in real time.
Mm-hmm.
This is particularly true with Google's service because Google Drive has been very tightly integrated with Google Docs. In fact, it's kind of superseded Google Docs in a way.
Yep.
But other services also offer similar features.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And just to clear things up, my joke about a couple years ago, of course, the cloud is much older than that. We've been using variations on cloud services for many years now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think it really precedes labeling things as cloud, which is really sort of a convenient marketing term for services such as these.
Yes.
It gives you it when people mention the cloud, it basically serves as a hint to say, hey, the materials or software is being stored on servers on the internet, not on your computer. So it's sort of a short marketing shorthand for these services. But yeah, I mean, we've talked about Google Docs many times. I mean, it predates the beginning of our podcast. So,
yes.
And there were many services using those kinds of technologies before. But in recent years, there have been several services that take advantage of cloud storage specifically, not simply to store the software as a service, you know, or the documents that you use, say, in Google Docs, but to upload and download your own files so that you don't have to use a physical medium. You don't have to worry about losing that that flash drive you carry in your pocket or your bag.
Yeah.
You don't have to walk a disk from one place to another or worry about it if you want to, say, work on a graduate school assignment on your lunch break at work. I don't know anyone who would have done that at How Stuff Works except maybe – me a couple of years ago.
Or you just happen to have like a whole bunch of really powerful magnets nearby and you don't want to use magnetic storage on.
Darn it, I had my flash drive in my pocket when I went for the MRI.
I was thinking of the old floppy disk days. I actually did lose data on a floppy disk because a floppy disk had a little bit of a close encounter with a magnet and that was enough to ruin it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, these services were being marketed specifically as a, hey, you can store stuff here. And the services in question, many of them came from the little guys.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Apple or Google or Facebook
or
Amazon.
Even, yeah, Amazon's a good example.
Or Microsoft. These were all independent vendors, and they would offer – and they still do offer a free tier of service for a small amount of storage. And then you could upgrade for a certain price per month. You could get more storage. And for more than that, you get more storage. And they basically would work that out. And businesses, if you really needed a whole lot of cloud storage, you know, you could do that. But gradually, the big players have been getting into the game. And that's why everybody has been expecting Google to do it. Because, I mean, hey, if anybody's got server storage and data centers, it's Google.
Yeah, it turns out that storage is relatively inexpensive.
It's gotten very, very inexpensive over the last few years.
Right. So for a business to enter into that and just purchase a lot of different servers specifically to save information from users, it's not as big a barrier as some other forms of internet-based businesses.
Mm-hmm.
However, it does mean that you have to create these systems in place for things like security.
Yes.
You need to have, you know, the important things for cloud computing involve security, accessibility. So you want to make sure that whatever your system is, it's easy to access on multiple platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you want people to be able to access it via PC, Mac, smartphone, tablet. Lots of different devices can connect to the internet now. So you want to be able to give your users the freedom to be able to access that information over as many of platforms as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more convenient your service is, the more valuable it is to the customer.
Mm-hmm.
So security and accessibility and just that whole accessibility / convenience and just the whole idea of giving a certain tier for free so that you show people how valuable this service is. Now, and we should clear this up. Cloud storage is not necessarily all about backing up your data, although people have used it for that kind of purpose.
Oh, sure.
It's really more about, well, there are certain documents or certain files that you may want to have stored in the cloud because you want to have easy access across multiple devices. You may want to share that with other people. And it's a lot easier to do that when it's on a web-based drive than it would be on your own computer. So
mm-hmm.
Let's say that I've shot a video and I've got this video living on my computer. Emailing that video out to all the different people I want to see it, maybe I don't want to upload it to something like YouTube. Maybe I just want to send that directly to a few people.
Well, for example, what if you were trying to preview a video with the people you were working, collaborating with it on?
Right, exactly.
And you're not ready to make it public yet,
for example. Yeah, you might need to still do some edits. You may just be looking at this with your friends and say, this just doesn't feel snappy enough. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah.
So in that case, yeah, you wouldn't want to necessarily upload it to YouTube. I mean, you could upload it to YouTube and make it private
right.
then send out the link. But if you just would rather skip that step and just keep it in pre-production mode, then a cloud drive would be very useful. You could send out, you could share the link to that file within your cloud drive,
mm-hmm.
and then other people could go to your cloud drive and view that one particular file without having access to anything else that's in your cloud drive. So all they would get is access to whatever file you permitted them access to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might be able to set some permissions on files so that they are publicly available, which means that anyone who could visit your drive would be able to see that particular file. But in most cases, I think people just have special permissions for particular folks.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you could always set it where only you have access to it. There's no need to, you're not forced to collaborate.
Right.
So that's the basics around cloud drives. And one of the reasons why I think cloud drives are getting more important is that you're starting to see, right about the time we're recording this podcast in particular, you're starting to see some devices come out besides ones that come from a company that rhymes with Schmapple that don't have expandable memory as a feature.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, there's no slot for you to put a memory card into.
Oh, well, we've already talked about Ultrabooks.
Yeah.
Which don't have optical drives.
Right.
You know, they save space, save energy by not having that. And, where you have a limited amount of storage on board.
Right.
So you could use something like a flash drive or a portable drive where you have a connection. But you do need something to store files on. Otherwise, you're really not going to be able to create stuff well.
Although, granted, most Ultrabooks probably have significantly more storage on board than your typical, at least your free tier of cloud storage out there.
Oh, yes, definitely.
But things like smartphones, I mean, here's an example. I'll give a real-world example because, again, this is April 27th. We're recording this, and this phone was just announced on T-Mobile, was the HTC One S.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Android-based phone running Ice Cream Sandwich. It has 16 gigabytes onboard memory.
Yeah.
All right, 16 gigs onboard memory, no flash drive, or no smart card drive at all. So you can't add more memory to it. That 16 gigs is all you get. However, HTC One S also comes with a trial period with Dropbox, which is another cloud-based storage system. And we'll talk more about Dropbox a little bit later in this podcast. So in this case, you're talking about a smartphone that is encouraging you to use cloud-based storage rather than some sort of physical media. So that way you have this your information is backed up into the cloud, and theoretically when you are ready to upgrade your phone or switch phones, or maybe you lose your phone, you have to get a new phone, you would still have access to that information because it exists on the cloud, not on a physical device in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's on a physical device, it's just that physical device belongs to some other company.
Right.
So that's one of the other reasons why cloud storage is so important, is that we're starting to see manufacturers kind of offload features onto the cloud,
mm-hmm.
so that they don't include them in the phone itself. It helps a little bit with phone design because it means that you don't need to build in that feature. You can actually make your phones slimmer and sleeker. I mean, Apple's been doing this for ages, but other companies are starting to do the same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's enough about cloud storage in general, I think. Unless,
yes.
Is there anything else that we need to talk about?
There was one other thing I didn't want to pass over it too much is, and this is something we've visited several times too, is the aspect of privacy. A couple of years ago when we were talking about this, when it was starting to become a public topic, mm-hmm. hey, what is cloud storage? What is cloud computing? People didn't really get that. And then when you explained it, they'd start thinking about the documents that you would store up there and privacy. What if somebody hacks in? I think it's obvious at this point that the convenience accessibility of cloud storage has made it we've gone so far now that I don't think we're going to go back. But it's obviously – I just think it's interesting to note that at this point we are – there are things that we look at, whether this particular company is more likely to have good security and privacy than the other company. But it's the security of these cloud storage services has become sort of a given.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, if they're going to offer this, they better be offering security because I'm going to use this service and, that's something I look for before I do that. So that doesn't even seem – that seems like a given now, when before people were going, I don't know if I want to do this or not.
Yeah, and we can talk a little bit about Google's approach to to privacy and security. In fact, we will have to, because there is a controversy that we will have to address. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, let's get into the basics of Google Drive. Mm-hmm. So it is built directly into Google Docs now. So Google Docs, if you were to open up a Google Docs account, which is just your regular Google account, that's what it's attached to. So if you have a Google account, congratulations, you have a Google Docs account.
Yep.
You can go to Google Docs and create a document, whether that's a Word document, Word being word processing document, not
right.
Word as in Microsoft Word, but a word processing document, presentation, spreadsheet, you know, all the basic types of Office documents. Google has those as features.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to create one and save it, it would save it into your Google Drive account, and you would automatically get the base free tier, which for Google Drive is 5 gigabytes of free storage.
Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about this is that that doesn't count any of the documents in your Google Docs.
So, oh, it doesn't?
No.
I didn't know that. That's
yes.
Interesting. That's good to know. Now, what you can also do is you can download a client onto your desktop that mm-hmm. allows you to drag and drop files from your computer into your Google Drive so that you can easily port over. If you've got, say, a photo album on your computer and you like the photo album and you want to keep it, but you don't really want it taking up space on your local hard drive, you could copy it, or not copy it, but move it over to your Google Drive, and it would store there. It would have, you could have a folder within your Google Drive where you could access that, and you could access it with any web connected device
mm-hmm.
that at least any web connected device, either through the web system, or depending on the device, you might have a dedicated app that would let you access it.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, Google Drive, you can do that on PCs and Macs, and you can do it on Android phones. And they're working on, but at the recording of this podcast, they're working on an iOS app
mm-hmm.
so that you would be able to access it easily through your iPhone or iPod Touch
mm-hmm.
or iPad.
Right. And they also, from what I understand, I did see an article on a Linux website the other day that was quite upset that there was not compatibility built in for Linux, as in a dedicated application.
From what I understand, they're working
they're
on
working
that as
on
well.
That too.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, if you're using Linux now and you've probably already tried to use your drive with it, if you're, you know, a Google customer, you can, of course, use the web version.
Right.
But they're working on a dedicated app, from what I understand.
Yeah, that's the nice thing.
I thought
is
I would
that,
mention that.
Yeah, even if your device doesn't have a dedicated app, you can still access Google Drive through the web portion. Like you open mm-hmm. up a browser and you can go to Google Drive that way. It's not quite as convenient. It's not as user friendly. So that's why everyone wants the app, because then you bypass that step of having to go through the web. It's just mm-hmm. like having an app on your phone that access a web-based email client so that you don't actually have to open up a browser and navigate to the email. You just open up the app and there you are.
Mm-hmm.
Same sort of thing.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted.
Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, there are some other interesting aspects that are unique to the Google Cloud Drive, because there's, you know, like we said, there are a lot of different companies out there that offer comparable services, but they don't all have the same feature set. One of the things that sets Google apart is, no surprise, search.
Mm.
So let's say that you have a lot of files in your Google Drive. Let's say that you are one of the people who you've got to upgrade your account because you've got a lot of data, and you've got lots of different kinds of files. You've got picture files, videos, text documents, all that kind of stuff, and scanned documents. So maybe PDFs or other forms of scanned documents. You have it all in your Google Drive, and then one day you need a specific file. And for the life of you, you can't remember what folder you saved it in. And you've got so many folders in this drive, it's going to take you forever to find it.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that does not happen on an infrequent basis at Shea Strickland. because I am very, very good at filing things away safely. So safely, I will never find them again.
Right.
So Google Search is built into Google Drive. And they have gone so far as to start developing recognition software so that, let's say that you've scanned in a lot of documents. Maybe you've got some old documents that are important to you. Perhaps they're old family journals, mm-hmm. and you've scanned the pictures and you put them into your Google Drive. And you think, there's this great document that my grandfather wrote that is pertinent to this blog post I'm posting. It would be awesome if I posted a picture of that page.
Mm-hmm.
But gosh, I can't remember where I saved it. Well, the image recognition software, it actually can scan the scanned documents and look for text. So if you type in a string, like you know that your grandfather wrote about – I'll give a real-life example. Let's say my grandfather wrote about a massive tornado that completely devastated Gainesville, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
Which is true. Really did happen. My grandfather was in working in a mill at the time, and it ripped the roof off the mill. My grandfather was very lucky to get out. So let's say that he wrote this great article about it, and I had scanned it in. I could type in Gainesville tornado in my Google search for the Google Drive, and it's going to actually look and scan the physical documents, the ones that are just image files, really,
mm-hmm.
and return those as well, which is kind of cool. It's not just scanning the text in your documents, it's scanning the images. They're also working on adding in the image recognition software that you can find in products like Google Goggles.
Mm-hmm.
So with Google Goggles, you can hold up a smartphone with a camera to a particular kind of object, sometimes like a landmark or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and Google Goggles will use recognition software to try and identify what that is. Same sort of thing. Let's say that you've taken a bunch of pictures of the Washington Monument, and then you think, oh, there's this great picture of the Washington Monument I want to use, and I don't remember where I put it. You could search Washington Monument, and that image recognition software will include any images that Google identifies as the Washington Monument and pulls it back, even if you didn't title the picture that. So the picture could be titled something different. It could just have the date or some random string of letters and numbers. But because that image recognition software is part of Google Search, it can pull that up as well. which is a really powerful tool. Now, Google does stress that both the image recognition software and the scanning of scanned files software, both of that, those technologies are in their early phases and may not work flawlessly. So, you know, mileage may vary, essentially, is what comes out of that. But that is a differentiator, is that you've got this amazing search tool. Mm-hmm. It turns out Google knows a thing or two about search. They've picked up a couple of tricks.
That's really cool. They needed to work on that.
Yeah, no, they've got some good work there. And then they're also working, there's all the collaborative features that you would get with Google Docs. Mm-hmm. So that's included with Google Drive. So assuming that people, that you give access to certain files to people, they should be able to make edits and everything. They're working on including some other features as well. They've actually opened up the platform and they've created an API for companies to add in their own features, so extensions and things. So you
an
might be able
to – application programming interface?
Yes. So you might be able eventually to do things like send a fax from your Google Drive to a fax machine or to actually edit videos within your Google Drive itself. Yep. So you're not just letting people view a video, but perhaps even edit videos within the drive using this third-party application. But there, the possibilities are nearly endless.
Yeah. Yep. As a matter of fact, they have already made partnerships with some of these companies that Jonathan is alluding to, mm-hmm. For the launch of Google Drive. And you can actually find it pretty easily when you go into your Google account that they have these applications that are ready to take advantage of this. And as a matter of fact, there is some of them have special deals. Now that's kind of important to note, just quickly that, these third party companies are probably still going to charge you for their services. So, you know, it's not necessarily free, but
right.
It does work very, very easily and it is, synchronized with Google Drive. So it makes it very easy to do, one from the other.
Right. Now
your mileage may vary again.
Again. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the tiers that Google offers.
I'm so sorry.
No more tiers. That's my Ozzy Osbourne reference for the day. Actually, it's probably not. I'm sure I'll get a crazy train in there somewhere.
Oh, man.
Or maybe War Pigs. Or maybe
I'm not sure how you're going to get that one.
Maybe
in
Iron Man. I mean, look, I can force a reference if I have to.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Anyway, so the tiers that Google offers, mm-hmm. So you've got 5 gigabytes of free storage.
Actually, let's back that up.
Okay.
Google
Beep.
Makes its money.
Beep.
Well, just a little bit.
Beep. Yeah.
Google makes its money from advertising.
Yes, that is true. Google is an advertising company when you get down to it. Or at least they run advertising.
Right, right. So let's kind of take one step back and look at Google services. Okay, Google Docs.
Yes.
The previous Google Docs. Free.
Yes.
Gmail, that's free.
Yep.
Search is free to the user. Android is free for people to install on cell phones.
Yep.
All this stuff is offered more or less free to the consumer.
Yep.
This is one of the big changes because Google's competitors in this space, people like that Jonathan mentioned before, Dropbox, Box, formerly Box.net, SugarSync.
SkyDrive.
SkyDrive, which is Microsoft's application for this. These guys all offer tiers. There's an initial free smaller space, and then they are tiered pricing. So you get small for free. You get medium for a few dollars a month. You get large for a few more dollars a month, et cetera, et cetera. So this is new. Google hasn't done this with other products, really. I can't think of one. Where it offers tiered pricing like this.
Yeah, nothing's popping to mind immediately. I mean, you could make some arguments about Google Voice, but that's a little different.
That's a little different.
Yeah. It is something
like
new.
To make a call on Google Voice normally, like over the phone, in general, it's free.
Now, granted, what Google could have done is they could have offered the 5 gigabytes free storage and that would have been it.
True.
But see, for Google to offer huge amounts of storage for free would be, Well, pretty soon Google, that would be eating into Google's revenue. So it's understandable why they did what they did. And really, when we get into the comparisons, you'll see it's fairly comparable to the other services.
Yeah.
Some offer less space for free, some offer more. But,
Dropbox, for example, is, I would say the, for what it's worth, the 800-pound gorilla.
And yet that offers 2 gigabytes.
And starts at 2 gigabytes. Although if you refer friends,
yes, if
you'll
refer
get a
friends,
little bit more.
You get 500 megabytes per referral and up to 16 gigabytes extra storage. So you could have up to 18 gigabytes for free if you referred that many friends to Dropbox.
Be my friend.
Yeah. So but getting back to it, the 5 gigabytes is free for any user.
Right.
So if you have a Google account, you have 5 gigs free storage online right now.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not enough, then for about $2, and this is all at launch, mm-hmm. we should say, because if you're listening to this podcast in 2017, I'm sure the prices may be different. But for $2.49 a month, you can get 25 gigabytes of storage.
Mm-hmm.
For $4.99 a month, you get 100 gigabytes of storage. And if you're really, really data hungry, for a cool $49.99 a month, $49.99, you can get a terabyte of storage online. So for people who need way more space, let's say that you do a lot of video editing, that you do a lot of a collaboration with other people with videos, and you want to have that ability for people to all look at it without it going live in any other way, this would be pretty useful. And again, it's kind of comparable to what other companies offer. Some of them don't have as high a amount of storage. That actually, none of them offer as much storage as Google Drive does at its highest tier. The highest tier that Google Drive offers is 16 terabytes of storage, which is for $799.99 a month.
Yeah. Well, I would say that some of them I've seen essentially say, hey, if you really need more storage than this, give us a call.
Yeah.
And we'll work something out.
Right.
But yeah, and there are a few things. One, you know, this isn't completely new, because Google Docs has allowed you to upload files like Microsoft Word documents.
Yeah.
For a little while now. But this is basically the formal announcement that, hey, we are going to offer you a certain amount of storage, and this is how much it costs.
Yep.
So it's really a delineation of all of that.
Right. The maximum file size that you can upload to a Google Drive, as assuming that you have that much space, is 10 gigabytes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the larger – actually, I think that's the largest file size among the consumer cloud storage. There's enterprise cloud storage too. Amazon offers – enterprise-level cloud storage, and that's a different animal.
Well, in a way it is, and in a way it isn't, because some of the other cloud services are using Amazon as their storage.
So in some cases, you are using Amazon cloud storage.
Yes.
You're just using it through another company.
Yeah.
That's a
genius business model right there.
We can do some comparisons with the others, but first, before we did the comparisons, I wanted to talk a little bit about some controversy that popped up.
Yeah.
So there are these things, these terms of service agreements that, standard across the web. And sometimes people read them. And when they do read them, sometimes they say, hey, that doesn't sound quite right. So one of the problems that came up, or not even a problem, one of the questions that popped up all had to do with part of the Google Drive Terms of Service, which said that anyone who would upload or submit content to Google Drive would grant Google, and I quote, a worldwide license to use, host, store, reproduce, modify, create derivative works, such as those resulting from translations, adaptations, or other changes we make so that your content works better with our services, communicate, publish, publicly perform, publicly display, and distribute such content, end quote. Which gave some people the fear that perhaps what Google was saying is, if you upload your content to our service, we can do whatever we want to it. Now, in truth, that's not what Google meant.
No, and this is common. I actually found an article on CNET where they had taken the terms of service from basically everybody, the major players in the cloud storage business. And there are clauses similar to that in many of them. And what they're basically saying is, you're giving us – okay, you put the file on the server.
Yeah.
What they're saying is you're going to allow us to make a thumbnail, a derivative work.
Right.
You'll let us capture the first page and make it small so you can see what it looks like.
Yeah.
You have to give them some of these rights to allow you to access it from other computers.
Right.
To share it with other collaborators with
exactly.
you. And that's what I think they were trying to accomplish. But the way it was worded freaked people right out.
Right. Now, and when you think about it a little bit, you realize, without this permission, Google Drive would not work.
Yeah, because right. you'd put it up there and you couldn't get it back.
Yeah,
and
because Google, see it on other Google wouldn't have the permission to yeah. display it in a way that would be useful to you.
Yeah.
So, for example, let's go with the collaboration thing. Here's
sure.
here's an example, and I think it was CNET that wrote this example. I want to say it was. It was Google, I think, that actually said, here's what the here's a use case scenario that will explain it, but I think it was CNET that reported it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, all right, so imagine that you are collaborating with a screenwriter in China.
Mm-hmm.
And the screenwriter is writing in Chinese characters, and you don't read Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So when you open up the file, Google Translate translates the document from Chinese into English so that you can read it, and it's in a format that makes sense to you. Well, that's changing that work. It's adapting it in the form of translating it.
Right.
And so this permission gives Google the rights to do that so that that document is actually useful to you. It's not – Google says they're not planning on doing anything like taking your work that you have uploaded, changing it around, and then selling it somewhere. That's
right.
That's not the purpose of this language. The purpose is just so that the features within Google Drive are legal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have permitted Google to do it.
Yeah. Or using it in ads. Now, I've seen some people say that they have seen their stuff being used in ads that are being shown to them.
But that whether it goes beyond those people, I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah.
So
I'm not certain exactly how accurate that is.
Right.
Because, you know, they do collect quite a bit of information on you, and they really probably wouldn't need to look at your documents to be able to target advertising to you and your interests.
Yeah, I mean, it's also
but I don't know.
It's also important that, you know, these permissions also allow Google to do things like scan all your documents so that if you need to search them, they can return results on those searches.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, again, you wouldn't be able to search anything. You would just have to go through all that huge pile of files and find what you needed.
Again, it's useful. It's a useful feature, but in order to do that, you have to grant them those
rights.
Permissions.
Yeah, because if you don't, then legally Google would be unable to provide that,
mm-hmm.
at least not without breaking the law.
Right.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas.
loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And of course, this is all happening this week. It launched this week. I think in the last day or so, the tempers have cooled, but people are still saying, well, okay, fine, but the way it's written is very broad, and it could be allowed, it could allow opening the door to doing these things. So they're saying that Google was a little reckless is probably a strong word, but they were a little,
vague
in their terms, and it does grant them those permissions where they could theoretically do that. But again, these terms are very similar to the ones used by just about everybody else out there.
In fact, I remember an almost identical story from a couple of years ago, and I can't remember what the company was. It might have even been Google again, but I remember distinctly that there was a discussion about this sort of thing and how people were worried that they were handing their rights over to another company, when in truth what was going on was just like this. It was the permissions were there so that the service could display the work in the way it needed to be displayed for it to be useful. And so ultimately it just boiled down to, no, we're not selling your stuff. We just need this permission or else there's no service.
Yeah.
We literally cannot do what we need to do for this to be useful. So, no need to panic. Although it's always good to question just in case. I mean, you know, Google does still have that motto of don't be evil, but you never know.
Well,
of course, evil's kind of an interesting thing. That itself is not entirely one man's definition of evil may be different from another's.
And I've heard it clarified that was really intended to mean don't manipulate search results to facilitate advertising, and it was specifically geared toward that. So, you know, keep your eyes. It's always good to keep your eyes open.
Yeah, no, it's always important to question these things.
Oh, that's not what we meant.
So let's go on to talking a little bit about how Google Drive stacks up against other cloud storage services. So with the free storage, with 5 gigabytes free storage, that puts it on the same playing ground as services like Box and SugarSync. Both of those offer 5 gigs as well.
Mm-hmm.
Dropbox is a little less. It's 2 gigabytes. But again, if you start referring other people and they join the service, you get 500 megabytes per referral up to a maximum of 16 gigs. So you could, in theory, have way more storage for free on Dropbox than you would on these other services.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft SkyDrive is at 7 gigabytes, but people who had SkyDrive accounts previous to Google Drive's launch can have up to 25 gigabytes for free.
Yes, but that offer is being made for a limited time.
Yes.
So if you have that and you want to keep that, you might want to go quickly over there to
In fact, by the time this podcast publishes, it may very well be too late.
It very well may be.
So in that case, we're sorry. Anyway, the minimum upgrade, so the smallest step that you can make from free to a paid service is a little different depending on the service. So for Google Drive, it's $2.49 per month for 25 gigs of storage. For Dropbox, you get the lowest step is 50 gigabytes of storage for $9.99 a month. So if you're breaking it down per gig, then Google Drive is cheaper, although you get less storage. Box is 25 gigabytes, so same amount as Google Drive, same amount of storage, but for $9.99 a month, so it's more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
SugarSync is 30 gigabytes of storage for $4.99 a month. So you get 5 gigabytes more storage, but it's essentially twice the price of Google Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then SkyDrive is 20 gigabytes for $10 a year, which is actually it's a little less storage than Google Drive. But Google Drive at $249 a month, you multiply that by 12 months, then you're like, oh, well, Microsoft SkyDrive in a way is a little cheaper. So that's how those stack up. And also the maximum file size limit, Google Drive blows the others out of the water, except for SugarSync, which does not technically have a file size limit. But the but Box is limit is 100 megabytes, so that's not too big. Dropbox and SkyDrive both have a limit of 2 gigabytes for a file size. SugarSync, Dropbox, SkyDrive, and Google Drive are all compatible both with Windows and Mac. Box is a business enterprise service. So
primarily.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get one if you want one.
Yeah. All of them have iPhone apps except for Google Drive right now, but Google Drive's working on it. The only one that doesn't have an Android app out of the ones I've listed is SkyDrive, Microsoft SkyDrive.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else has an Android app already out on the market. Windows Phone. Well, here's a shock. Microsoft SkyDrive has a Windows Phone app, but Google Drive doesn't. Dropbox doesn't. Box doesn't. Mm-hmm. SugarSync is supposedly coming out, so maybe by the time this podcast goes live, SugarSync will have theirs. They all have web access. So you can access the service over the web. So even if your device does not have an application that is native to that device, you can still get there over the web, assuming you have a browser. And all of them allow for public file sharing so that you can actually let other folks see what's in your drive or see specific files that you have, you know, enabled public sharing. You can also do private file sharing with all of them so that if you want to have just a group of collaborators, let's say you're all working on a project together and you want to be able to look at everyone else's information on a particular file, you can do that. And then the public itself would be shielded. They would not be able to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them offer some sort of collaborative document editing, although you might have to use proprietary apps in order to do it. Dropbox does not. It's more of a storage feature than collaboration. SugarSync also doesn't. But SkyDrive, Box, and Google Drive all do. And then there are a couple of other features, like the third-party apps integration. That's pretty much standard across the board. SkyDrive is specifically going to be for Windows 8 apps.
Mm-hmm.
So, but others are, you know, pretty much unfettered.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how it boils down to the other major cloud services that are out there. And there's more than that. I mean,
yes.
that's just a handful of them.
Oh, yeah. I've got different applications for several of them, including Ubuntu One, which is offered by Canonical, primarily for Linux users. And, you know, there are others out there that are trying. And people have questioned whether or not these services are going to continue into the future. I think Google Drive may end up being a model for what's going to be happening. Google Drive and SkyDrive basically are, you know, sort of hybrids of online collaboration software and storage. So the pure storage players like Dropbox and SugarSync may have a difficult time competing with them in the future, especially since they're owned by, you know, SkyDrive and Google Drive are, you know, big players, and they've got a whole lot of money to throw at these different applications.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, creating larger and larger, file storage for free, offering those services for free, you know, it may not be very long at all before Google and Microsoft are offering, you know, 10 gigabytes, you know, or more than that. And of course, you know, Apple is doing something very similar with the iWork suite too. So, it's very possible that the big players in the industry may run off with it and the pure storage guys sort of fall by the wayside. I would say that is a very, very real possibility, but probably not for another year or two at least. Just as people decide what it is they want to do with these systems. If they end up using just storage, you know, hey, I'd rather create a document on my desktop and then share it with my collaborators on the drive rather than, you know, us working on a document in the cloud in my web browser.
I think I think the real problem for the consumer in the short term is going to be figuring out where the heck your data is if you're using multiple multiple services.
I do have that problem.
Yeah, because if you – I have Dropbox and I have Google Drive.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only two that I'm using, right?
Well, I've got like six or seven.
Yeah, I resisted that temptation because I knew what would happen.
But it's free.
The problem you have within one drive is multiplied when you have multiple drives. So that's like you come home and you don't know which computer has the file that you need on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you've got four computers in your house for some reason. Like you live in my house, for example.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I've got more than four.
I was going to say.
But anyway, I think I've got five. But anyway, let's say that you've got five computers at your house then. Let's say I got five computers in my house and that I have a file saved on one of those computers. Then comes the fun part of going to each computer and figuring out where it is. Same problem if you're using multiple cloud storage services. You're going to have to go and do a search through each one. The benefit to it is that you can at least do that search from one machine,
mm-hmm.
as long as that one machine can access each of the services you're using. And if they all have web-based access and you've got a web browser, then you've got that problem solved, even if it's not the most elegant solution. But still means that you have to check each one of the drives and figure out where you have it. And then you might even fall into that same trap you had before where you might have duplicate files. You might have one instance on one drive and another instance on another drive. So, that's going to be a problem too, is that if you use a lot of these services, then you still have to have some sort of, discipline when it comes to data management. Maybe mm-hmm. you only use one for one particular type of file and use another for a different one. And that way, at least you reduce that confusion.
Yeah.
Me, what I think I'm going to end up doing is I'm going to pick one, and I haven't decided which yet. Although, let's be honest, Google Drive is probably the lead simply because I have a lot of products that run on Android. So, you know, I'm kind of locked into that ecosystem already, but I haven't completely decided yet. So let's say, you know, whichever one I decide on, I'm going to eventually move all my things, all of the things. I'm going to move all of the things into that folder, and then I'm just going to get rid of the others. So that way I don't have that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you want to say about this before we wrap up?
No, I think we should close it up.
Let's do that then. Let's close this crazy thing.
Let's drive it home.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any suggestions for any podcast topics we should cover in the future, I invite you, nay, I compel you to contact us with those suggestions. You may do so either over email. Our address is techstuff@discovery.com, or hither thee to the Facebook or Twitter thing and use that to let us know. Our handle on both of those is techstuffhsw.
You've been working at the Renaissance Festival.
Huzzah. Let us conclude this day's event, and merrily we shall go and take a break. And verily, Chris and I shall speak with thee again anon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.